A fist bump, not a handshake, was how President Biden greeted Mohammed bin Salman today. He's the Saudi prince who U.S. intelligence says ordered the 2018 murder of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi. Biden is under pressure to speak up about the murder. He also needs Saudi to help bring down fuel prices.
And back home, the president has other challenges. It may be game over for big pieces of his legislative agenda, notably climate change. So it's time now for our Friday roundtable. We have Rick Klein, ABC News political director. Hi, Rick.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
And Francesca Chambers is with us, White House correspondent at USA Today. Francesca, happy Friday.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
And let's talk once again about Joe Manchin. This morning, the critical centrist Democratic senator said he's a no vote on an economic bill that includes spending on climate change proposals. Manchin is, of course, from a coal state, West Virginia. Here he is this morning on West Virginia Metro News Radio.
Inflation is absolutely killing many, many people. They can't buy gasoline. They have a hard time buying groceries. Everything they buy and consume for their daily lives is a hardship to them. And can't we wait to make sure that we do nothing to add to that?
Francesca, for the president's agenda, we know the clock is ticking down to the midterms. How big a blow is this?
Well, it's not just ticking down to the midterms. It's ticking down to an August recess that comes in about 3 weeks. And Democrats have many things that they had hoped to get done during that time, things that they thought would help with voters to get them out to the polls, as you were asking about. And this was a major one. The White House now saying that they're not going to negotiate in public when asked about it today on the flight to Saudi Arabia, which has consistently been their position. But Manchin has been quite clear. If inflation is high, he wouldn't vote for this. And now this may be the final blow, considering Democrats just won't have time to consider continue negotiating with Manchin.
Yeah. And Rick, let's just step back on this issue. Ron Wyden, the liberal Democratic senator from Oregon, said this was the last chance to prevent the most catastrophic and costly effects of climate change. I mean, could this issue fall off the table for years? I mean, scientists, of course, say we need to address this yesterday.
I think Democrats are likely to lose control of at least the House, if not the House and the Senate. And in that sense, it's not going to be a front burner issue. But that's another way of looking at this, is that, you know, Joe Manchin is being vilified right now for his role in this. And I think he deserves whatever degree of blame you assign to it based on your beliefs on this. That said, what he is saying is not something that is foreign to the ears of many American workers out there who are struggling, that would rather see an emphasis on energy production that gets at gas prices right now than climate change, and that are concerned about runaway inflation. And the idea that more spending right now is the solution is not something that's going to sell very widely. So I've been struck by, there are some progressive Democrats who this week with the inflation report are coming out and saying, this is unacceptable. We need to do something about this. They almost sounded like they were the party out of power rather than the party in power. And Joe Manchin, in one way, it feels like he is saving Democrats from themselves, particularly given the 9.1% inflation that was the cause of his fresh concerns. He has signaled his position for some time now.
Rick, really quickly, can you briefly share what is left in and out of this bill?
Well, this takes out really anything you were going to do around climate change. What's left is potentially some areas to try to bring down drug prices, potentially some areas to address tax reform. But it's very minor, very narrow compared to the hundreds of billions that was initially proposed and that still was seen as a possibility. All year, the Democrats have spent 2 years now, year and a half, trying to get Manchin and Sinema on board. Manchin saying that he won't be on board for anything increases inflation by additional spending and also the climate provisions. It's a major blow to what's left of the Biden domestic agenda.
Mm-hmm. Let's bring up another major topic for this week. Francesca, I want to ask you about abortion. In Congress, Democrats are trying to protect abortion rights 3 weeks after we know the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. But Republicans blocked a bill that would have helped persons cross state lines to get abortions. And they were slammed by Democratic Senator Patty Murray. Let's listen.
There is already legislation introduced in Missouri to ban abortion travel. Anyone telling you this is not a threat is not paying attention, or they're just trying to mislead you.
Francesca, the Senate bill does not have a chance of passing. So really, what is the point?
Well, Murray is up for re-election this year, and like other Democrats who are either seeking re-election or in the case of the president and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, they've made similar comments about Republicans. This is now something that they say is on the ballot in November. The president's message here has been that you need to vote for more Democrats in both the House and in the Senate if you share the view that there should be Roe should be codified, essentially. And that's exactly where things are now, is that in the Senate, unless there's the filibuster, you know, the rule change that is made so that you don't have to have that 60-vote threshold, you're not going to see legislation, whether it's from Republicans or Democrats, related to the issue of abortion pass. So then that takes you into the territory of, would they get rid of that rule? And there just consistently on both sides has not been enough support to get rid of that 60-vote threshold.
Now, the politics of abortion in Washington and in the country surround this horrific case of a 10-year-old rape victim in Ohio. She had to go to Indiana to get an abortion. Many Republicans doubted this story, which was eventually corroborated. Jim Jordan, the GOP Ohio congressman, called it a lie, and then he deleted that tweet. Here he is on CNN.
Why'd you delete the tweet?
Well, because we learned that this illegal alien did this heinous crime. So we deleted the tweet.
Did you apologize for to the girl and the family for suggesting
it was
a lie?
Never doubted the child.
All right, the audio is not great, but we're hearing Jim Jordan asked about the deleted tweet. He says he learned this crime was committed by what he called an illegal alien. Rick, is this going to hurt Republicans like Jim Jordan?
You just saw that the Republican talking point on this change in real time. It was remarkable to see how quickly it went from this never happened to it was done by an undocumented immigrant. Totally different argument. Both, you know, that actually has the benefit of being true, the latter piece of it. I think abortion rights is going to be an issue that gets more Democrats excited than Republicans, given where things are standing. But it's a state-by-state issue, and it also may not be a top-of-mind issue. And for many of Jim Jordan's constituents who consider themselves so-called pro-life, they're probably glad to see him do battle like this. And I think other comments about how the 10-year-old should have been forced to carry the baby to term, that's the logical consequence of what the Supreme Court ruling is in many states. It isn't something the Republicans are particularly comfortable talking about, but it is part of the political mix. And again, it just really depends on how people prioritize this issue when you line it up against so many other things that are impacting their lives right now.
Of course, the January 6th investigation in Washington continues, so I want to ask briefly about that. On Tuesday, Liz Cheney on the House Select Committee said it is looking into possible witness tampering by former President Trump. There is at least one more hearing from this panel. At this point, Francesco, what is your sense of the framing the committee is trying to achieve, and is it succeeding?
They're trying to set up a case here for the Justice Department to be able to pick up to they're at least trying to make the case that the Justice Department should investigate and prosecute the former president of the United States. So what we expect in the final hearing is for them to really drive home that point, to present every piece of evidence that they have that they think that the Justice Department could pick up, bring up for the witnesses. And while there could be more hearings in the future, this is important to know it's the last one that we currently know of, that they currently have scheduled. So it would be my expectation that if there's witnesses that they haven't named yet or any other information that they have that is to that point, then that's what we're going to see.
Francesca, do you feel that the committee has managed to reframe what happened on January 6th? Is a clear picture emerging that what we knew before these hearings is dramatically different from what we know now happened that day?
Well, you know, what's interesting about the hearings, too, is just how many other things have been taking place in the news at the same exact time as the hearings. We're talking about abortion rights. When President Biden has been traveling, there have been, you know, him meeting with Mohammed bin Salman today at the same exact time, right, as all of these things. So it's unclear at this point what role this is going to play in the midterm elections at this point, especially bringing it back to where we started, which is when so many Americans are concerned about inflation, they're concerned about the economy, whether or not they're going to be going to the ballot box and voting on January 6th or voting on these kitchen table issues is just something that we're still waiting to see. But if you look at polling, the economy has been voters' number one issue.
Mm-hmm. With a little bit of time that we have, the Washington Post is reporting today that former President Trump will announce announce another bid for the presidency in September before the midterms. Rick, do you think he's really decided? How important is this timing? I'm thinking about what Francesca just said about the news cycle.
I think the worst thing that Republicans for their prospects in the Senate and the House could have is a Trump announcement. It has no meaning now. The election's 2.5 years away. And whether the president is doing it to try to avoid some kind of legal scrutiny is going to be a question. More importantly, though, more relevantly, it helps the Democrats frame the election. They want to make this a choice between MAGA Trumpism and the Democrats who are in power. The Republicans would love to make it a referendum on Biden. But if you have Trump already an active and announced candidate for 2024, it forces Trump into the conversation even more than he would have done so. And whatever he decides, this is going to be looming for a long time now.
Which makes a lot of reporting for the two of you going forward. Rick Klein, ABC News political director, and Francesca Chambers is a White House correspondent for USA Today. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.